Voices of Wisdom Bible Church, the church of a distinct Christian generation.
As the Lord leads us on, we are commencing another discussion that will take us a number of weeks. And the new topic is rediscovering God's redemption agenda. Rediscovering God's redemption agenda. When we look at our society today and the godly impact that the church should be making, one will not be too pleased that it appears as if the church is laboring, but yet the result is not actually showing that we have labored as much as we ought to labor. And one of the key factors that will help us to redouble our efforts as we occupy for the Lord is to rediscover again God's redemption agenda and reapply our energy, reapply all the endowment of heaven that is upon us to make this redemption agenda known and acceptable to the world. And so we are going to start from the angle of analyzing the spiritual health of our society. Analyzing the spiritual health of our society. And to know the state of the spiritual health of any society, several factors can serve as a window to understand the spiritual state of health of society at any particular time. And the factors could be many. But whether the factors are few or many, the type of debate that is most popular in any society or in that particular society will not be excluded. Hello? Are we together? Now please, those on my extreme left, if you don't have access to the media, you can change position and relocate afterward. Now, I said several factors can be employed to assess the spiritual state of health of any society at any particular time. And so the factor could be many, therefore. But whether the factors are few or they are many, one key factor that cannot be excluded is the type of debate, the type of discussion that is most popular in that society. We are going somewhere, just follow me gradually. So, in other words, among several other factors that can be employed to assay or measure the spiritual state of health of society, the most popular, the most topical debate that characterizes a given society is a strong pointer to the spiritual state of health of that society. So if the debate that is most popular or topical favor righteousness or moral uprightness, it has its meaning. Are we together? If you keep a company, okay, the kind of discussion you are having in that company will be a pointer, okay, to the spirituality or the spiritual state of the members of that company. So, if the debate debases morality, it also has its implication on the spiritual state of health of that society. So, a society that discusses immorality openly and thereby indulge our youth, but same society will now turn around to oppose the preaching of the gospel is spiritually sick. Is somebody following me? when you have a society that can proudly discuss immorality openly, and the same society that is so indecent, indulging our youth, will not turn around and oppose the preaching of the gospel. Such is whatever is the inventor that can be used to assess the spiritual state of health of that society. Are we together? Are we together? And so, when we look at our today's world, you will notice that today's world is engaging in more debative war of intellect than combative war of physical weapons. If you watch historical films, okay, you see more of people going into war against themselves. Combative war. But when you look at today's world, another dimension has been added or has been escalated than the way it used to be. The debative war of intellect. And this war takes place in different segments of our society, but much more pronounced and prominent in schools. You know, if you send your child to school and the child returns the same, okay, that child has not been educated. Are you with me? Okay, so when a child is sent to school, that child is expected to return as a changed person. And the change will either be positive or negative. Your intention may be positive, but if you don't understand this dimension of the war of intellect, okay, that will have changed the ideology of that child, some of the children eventually come out negative. Are we together? So, schools, conferences, community meetings, boardrooms of corporate organizations and of public institutions, parliamentary chambers. Okay. Most of the moral changes we now have in our society are coming out as a result of the debates. Okay, and the debaters that are winning in the parliaments. Some of the things that are ethical in the past and values that we hold very high, today they are being eroded, and they are having the backing of the lawmakers who discuss this matter in the parliament. Okay. And reasonings that are not consistent with our historical background, that are not consistent with our highly esteemed moral values, religious values, they are gradually being eroded. From here, you begin to understand that indeed the debative war of intellect is a much more serious war than the combative war of physical weapon. Are we together? Social assemblies, such as drinking joints, okay, that is not recommended, or believers are not actually expected to be involved in that. But since we are discussing our society, a number of slangs that eventually form philosophy that drives some people's life, it comes out as a result of people gathering in social arenas to discuss issues. For instance, in Nigeria today, we enter the year 2024 with no grief for anybody. Which prophet prophesied it? Are you with me? But it has been much more well accepted than the prophecy of prophets. Can you begin to see how the debative war of intellect can be very, very serious and have a very strong grip and hold over a society? Are we together?
So
social assemblies, including drinking joints. Okay? Where you see some husband or fathers come home and begin to implement some philosophy and begin to say, why has that changed? He picked that idea from where he's socializing with his friend in the beer parlor. Then, the one that is much more serious, which we are going to extend in discussion a little more than the other ones about Atema, is the social media platform. Social media platforms, courtesy of the invention of the information technology, it now dominates the debative world. Is there any day you go on your WhatsApp group or on Facebook or Instagram that there are no issues being debated? Answer me, church. So, to the degree that even when there's a physical combative war, as we have it ongoing between Russia and Ukraine, between Israel and Palestine, what we divide the rest of the world and where we pitch our tent, which side we support, beside economic factor, is rooted in ideological persuasions coming out as a result of certain debates that we have participated in. Are we together? Secondly, coming out of religious indoctrination. So, when you look at the debative war of intellect, okay, and you consider it like a coin, every coin has two sides. Are you with me? And so, the two sides to the debative war of intellect are ideological persuasion and religious indoctrination. What do I call the two sides of the coin of debative war of intellect? Religious indoctrination. So, sometimes the debate that is generated by socio-political ideology and the one generated by religion can even blind some people's sense of reasoning to the degree that they will ignore both economic and moral values. Are you with me? Imagine how on earth, okay, will somebody say, in the name of trying to defend a religion, and will be slaughtering his fellow man. Are you with me? So, which means by religious indoctrination, as a result of a kind of a debate and discussion that somebody has participated in, that person has been blinded, okay, to the value of human dignity, to the degree that he can snuff life out of his fellow man. So the matter we want to examine is so serious. And as we go on, may the Holy Spirit give us understanding in the name of Jesus. Okay, so you find people who do evil, and you want to ask yourself, for what economic benefit? No economic benefit. Just because he has been indoctrinated, just because he has bought a philosophy that is so persuasive, that does not mean it is positive. That does not mean it is right, but it is persuasive. And that is why those of us who hold the truth of the gospel, we must raise our participation in societal debates as to be able to push the truth to triumph over evil and lies. Are we together? But we have the truth, we hold the truth. We have the truth, we cage ourselves. We have the truth, okay? We just stay in the corner, sequestered or disconnected from the larger society, just humming the truth to ourselves, and nobody is hearing us on the street. Tell somebody, I am taking the gospel to the street. Tell somebody, I'm taking the truth to the parliament chamber. I am taking the truth to the boardroom. Tell yourself, I'm taking the truth to the United Nations. Righteousness must become a pride again. So the debative war, more often than not, precipitate combative war. The debative war of intellect, more often than not, is the reason we have eventually the combative war of weapons. Two people cannot fight except there's an issue they have argued about, except there's a difference in their mental perspective. Are we together? So arguments originate from intellectual disagreement. So argument or disagreement will always precede physical fight. What we call the fist will not cross if thought are headed in the same direction. If what you are saying, okay, is what I understand, there will be no need for us to fight. Are we together? So the fist will not cross. No fisticuff will take place if thoughts, if thinking, are headed in the same direction. But because we don't always put our pillow in the same direction to sleep, our leg will generate conflict whenever it disturbs our bedmate. Hello? If you sleep with your bedmate and the pillow of your bedmate is in the north and your own pillow is where? In the south. Certainly, your leg will be in the north, okay? Where his head is. And his head will be in the south, where your leg is. Any movement, okay, that kick his cheek, what will it bring about? Fight. So, because we don't always put our pillow in the same direction to sleep, we don't always think alike. Okay? We don't hold the same philosophy. Our ideologies are different. It's like our legs, okay, not aligning with the leg of our neighbor, but rather aligning with the head of our neighbor while we sleep together. We don't put our pillow in the same direction. So, and when our leg disturb our bedmate, there will be conflict. Are we together? So let's take the social media as a battlefield of the combative war of intellect. The social media. The social media space is a battlefield of conflicting ideas. One basic characteristic about the social media is that it is a battlefield of what? Conflicting ideas. So, and because that is the case with the social media space, many age-long, highly cherished values have become victims of the moral conflict going on in the social media space. I was watching a lady on TikTok a few days ago, and as I was watching, I discovered that the way she was dressed, the cleavage was open, and you know, today it's almost becoming the normal, though it's the abnormal, that a lady will dress and you will see the cleavage. Are we together? Now, and as I was watching, over time, the sleeve of the shirt she was wearing, okay, naturally covered the space. Okay, then I discovered that it's like maybe the cameraman or whoso was signaling to her that the place has been covered. And then she opened it again For the second time, she opened again. So, and I discovered that, okay, this thing was not an error. She was actually interested in opening the cleavage for everybody watching the video to see. A few years ago, some decades ago, I may not know about other continents, but in Africa, such will be frowned at. But today, nobody sees it as an issue. Why? Because by the reason of the advent of the social media space, courtesy of information technology world that we now live in, many age-long, highly cherished values have become victim of the moral conflict that is going on in the social media space. Worst of all, the Christian faith, as I view it, is merely struggling to survive. Take on any of the social media platforms, okay, and do a critical analysis of the ideologies that are being pushed. You will discover that the Christian faith is merely struggling to survive. For instance, a mere check on the traffic or followership enjoyed by different social media influencers will tell you the story. Okay. Take on whosoever you consider as the most prominent social media influencer that is pushing the gospel, side by side with a social media influencer that is pushing nudity. Who do you think will have more followership? Answer me. You and I also know the contents that are enjoying the heaviest traffic and the characters behind them. So we can therefore tell the spiritual earth of our modern world by the characters that are being recognized as role models. Don't forget where we are coming from. We want to start this discussion rediscovering God's redemption agenda by trying to assess the spiritual state of health of our society. This and this, the role that the church will be playing as the salt of the earth. Are we together? So, and I am saying, by assaying or measuring or testing or checking on the kind of debate that is more prominent and most acceptable in the society, will serve as a signal or a window to understand the moral purity, the spiritual state of earth of that society. So, and the point we are now is that you can tell the spiritual earth of our modern world by the characters that are being celebrated or recognized as role models, celebrities, and brand ambassadors in our society. Hello? How many times have you seen manufacturers go into the university and pick the best overall first class student and say, this is the ambassador for our product, and put the person on billboard and give the person grant of $100 million? They won't do that. Rather, their brand ambassadors are not coming from the ivory towers. The brand ambassadors are coming from BB Niger. Am I talking to somebody? So how can a church that understands the redemption agenda be comfortable in a society where such things are happening? But it seems we are complacent. We are comfortable. We think all is well. Am I talking to somebody? So, by the people being recognized as role models, celebrity and brand ambassador in the society, we can tell the spiritual state of health of the society. Very unfortunately, you also now find churches, because they want to gather crowd, now bring also such characters as guest artists on the pulpit. So, without asking, who are these people on the scale of morality? Who are these people on the scale of intellectualism? What do they have mentally that can be useful to shape the philosophy of the society in the right direction? In the dimension that can bring peace and harmony. In the dimension that can motivate the younger generation to embrace diligence, to embrace honesty, to embrace patriotism. Are we together? Our society is grossly sick, and there's a need for us to introduce the healing balm, the redemption agenda of God Almighty. So, we receive these people as role models, as brand ambassadors, without asking, who are they on the scale of the contribution they have made to science and technology? So many inventions lying inside the files of our professors. Nobody to sponsor it on large scale mayor that can contribute to our society becoming a productive economy. Without asking, who are they in the concrete term of youth empowerment and employment generation? Without asking, what can they contribute to sustainable societal cohesion? Rather than consider all this, the focus in the society today is hostility against godly content. And that hostility has reached a height whereby today the desirability of the Christian faith is being queried and attacked beyond the official or the normal persecution as we used to know it. So this is my big concern. I'm a concern, rather. My big concern on this, and a challenge to the church, is: are we sufficiently sensitive to take notes? Are we sufficiently concerned, or are we concerned enough to also respond appropriately? How well equipped are the church folks to survive this battle? Our young ones cannot survive the battle. It's the reason they will quit gospel music, okay, and go out to do something else. Our guests cannot survive it, okay? It's the reason they are no longer comfortable to dress godly. They want to look like the people outside there. So, the church is in a spiritual warfare, very serious one. But the most serious aspect of it is this debative intellectual war. So, the intellectual battle being faced by the church is both internal and external. Why do I say it's internal? It's partly internal because you will now notice in the center of this battle, rather than some preacher deploying the arsenal of the gospel to shoot down imaginations emanating from the kingdom of darkness, we end up shooting down ourselves. So you will notice that some overzealous but ill-informed reformers now have larger followership of unredeemed social media followers or members, aiding them all to self-destroy the church. Whereas most popular preachers who hold the truth in holistic form are actually not being followed. And so today, the easiest way to suddenly become popular is to create content that attack the church or debase morals. One of the easiest ways to suddenly become popular is to create content that attack the church or debase morals. In fact, some people will ride on the lip slip of some preachers to make content. Okay? But since it is negative against a popular preacher, a well-renowned preacher, you see everybody come on and applauding them on. So nudity will go viral while no one pay attention to decency. Go on the social media today, call out corrupt politicians the way John the Baptist did, who has asked you to repent. You brood of vipers. You go today there and call out corrupt politicians the way John the Baptist did. You may be stoned by their supporters. Hello? But call out a pastor, wrongly or rightly, you will not lack sympathizer who will help you to drag him. Is that not the case today? So I won't be surprised if a survey is conducted today and we found out that the desirability of Christianity in the affairs of humanity top the list of institutions today's society is debating very vigorously to eliminate. Rather than put the blame where the blame ought to be, the blame of bad governance, the blame of poor exchange rate, you see people heap all the blame on the church. So rightly or wrongly, the social media space is awash with anti-church debates. So let's try to trace the root of the problem. Let's try to trace the root of the problem. Remember, it is said that when purpose is not known, abuse is what? Answer me, church. Inevitable. So also let me add to that saying that a good thing that is abused, in spite of its intrinsic potential value, stands the risk of being blackmailed, despised, rejected, or blacklisted. So all of these that I've mentioned, being blackmailed, being despised, being rejected, being blacklisted, which of these is not being explained by the church today? So all these listed negative end results could partly be blamed on ignorance of the society on the redemption agenda of God. Coupled with that, the church will cannot be totally absorbed from certain wrongdoings, so much on orthodox practices emanating from even the proponents of the gospel not understanding their mandate with respect to the redemption agenda of God. So much on orthodox practices, socially abhorrent acts, You take a preacher to the court of law on issues relating to rape, and from all angles, you can't find any justification to defend him. In human activity going on in the church, and this has made some people to either erroneously or satanically conclude that Christianity is a scam. The matter has also been made worse. Why? Because today's church is being constantly implicated as a major culprit in the societal moral decadence and developmental backwardness. And of course, when you have a situation like this, you give opportunity for the church to fail in the debative war that is going on to decide which philosophy to shape the society. Because we have lost the moral ground to be able to marshal our persuasive point in favor of what we stand for. Am I talking to somebody? So, this development, sadly, pathetically, is rapidly promoting disinterestedness in the Christian faith. And it is instigating, or differently put, attracting official hostility to the propagation of the gospel. So if you are careful to observe, apart from the fact that the Western world has long backslidden from the faith, evident in cathedral becoming shopping malls, becoming gymnasium, temples of new age religion of all kinds, and even mosques, you also notice in Africa a rising wave of strong advocacy for a return to our African root, that African people should quit Christianity and return to their pagan root of idolatry. And all these are making sense because the church is failing. Because the church is not standing strong with her mandate of being the custodian and the institution that is trusted with making the redemption agenda of God real in the life of the people and the society. So, what could be the cause? What is it that has made such reasoning tenable in the 21st century that we should go back into idolatrous practices? I said, one, ignorance of the redemption agenda that Christianity represents. Two, poor attention being paid to the propagation of the redemption agenda by the most focal wings of the church. So even in the debative war of intellect, it isn't that the church is absolutely not present. We are present. But those who have the most vocal voice, those who have the most prominent visibility, what are they using that visibility to do? Are you with me? So, there is a gross loss of pride in godly value. Why? Because the church itself is yielding to the last day spirit of lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life, as written in 1 John 2:16. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So, today's church is hard more loudly on the matters that affect the body than those that address the soul. as if they've never read and heard Jesus, who said, "What shall it profit a man that gains the whole world but lose his soul?" And as a result of that, particularly in Africa, which is our context, the history of religion on African soil is being gradually twisted in the debative war of intellect to label Christianity as white man's religion. If you are not aware, I'm raising your consciousness to know and understand the serious battle we are into. So, the history of religion on African soil is being gradually and ferociously twisted to label Christianity as white man's religion. Okay? And the intellectual dimension to the persuasion that some Christians are not sensitive to is that let them own their own religion and let us revive our own religion. So, there's a twisting of history of religion to label Christianity as white man religion that has its root in Europe. But nothing can be more further from the truth. But how do we debunk the truth? I mean, the lie. How do we debunk the lie? Only a study in the rediscovery of the foundation and fundamentals of our faith can lead us to the truth on this matter. And so, in the next couple of weeks to come, this study, Rediscovering God's Redemption Agenda, will attempt to re-educate us, believers, on the fundamental purpose of Christ and our responsibility to both preserve and propagate the faith. Church, if you are asked, what's our objective for embarking on this topic, rediscovering God's redemption agenda? Here is what should be your answer: to re-educate our mind. Somebody said to re-educate our mind on the fundamental purpose of Christ and the responsibility we have to both preserve and propagate the faith. Now, the dust that I have raised about twisting in the history of religion, let me close today, having set the objective for the study. So let me draw the curtain today by stating it very boldly, historically and scripturally, that Christianity is not a white man's religion. Hello? Your faith is not a white man religion. Tell yourself, my faith is not a white man religion. Rather, it is the appellation or the title given to those who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and pattern their life after his perfect and excellent life of godliness. Hello? Christianity is the appellation, is the title given to the disciples of Jesus Christ. So it is the appellation or the title given to those who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and pattern their life after his perfect and excellent life of godliness. So if somebody will say, because gay life is embraced in the West, therefore, Africans who reject Christianity because of the lifestyle of the people of the West, you are getting it wrong. Are you with me? The Christian life is the life pattern after Christ's perfect and excellent life of godliness. Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is what? Is perfect. But when you are not rooted in the fundamental of what your faith is, it's so easy for you to embrace that. I say, even when our fathers were worshipping idol, the world is not this bad. It is when Christianity came that dabaru everything. No, Christianity did not dabaru anything. Hello, it is the Adamic nature, okay, in people. Okay, but just because you feel like Christianity is prominent or their missionary brought Christianity, you think that is what Christianity is. Christianity is not worldliness. Christianity is godliness. Tell somebody, Christianity is not worldliness. Christianity is godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. Please don't miss Bible study. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believe all in the world, receive up into glory, so that we will also be received up to him either by rapture or on the last day. Are you with me? Are you with me? So that is Christianity. Acts 11:26 is where it originated from. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christian first in Antioch. So Christian are not called to align with the culture of the West, but to become like Christ. Hello? We are not called to align with a Oyibo lifestyle. Our calling is to become like Christ. Christianity is about personal relationship with Jesus Christ for salvation. It is not cultural identification with white man civilization or moral bastardization, as the case may be. Are we together? Because we are in that serious debative war of intellect. And except you understand these fundamentals, you will lose your faith. Are we together? So I come again. Christians are not called to align with the culture of the West. It has gone so bad that some people think that what it means to be a Christian is to dress the way I am dressed. And so, if I come on the pulpit now and I put Abeti Aja and what do you call this one? Kembe. Okay, you'll be looking somewhere as a pastor become Babalawo. So, we are not called to align with the culture of the West. If we so choose to dress that way, no problem. But that does not make us a Christian. Are you with me? I remember in those days when the likes of Archbishop Benson Idauza introduced the wearing of Agbada. Okay? Do you know that some people spiritualize it and made song out of it, that it is backsliding for a pastor to wear Agbada to preach? Hello? Now, the debate has changed now. We are now attacking wearing suits. Am I talking to somebody? So, let's leave all those menial matter and discuss the real issues of the faith. So, Christians are not called to align with the culture of the West, but rather to become like Christ. It's about personal relationship with Jesus Christ for salvation. It is not cultural identification or affiliation with white men's civilization or their moral bastardization, as the case may be. So there's no debate about who a Christian is supposed to be. A Christian is one who is first and foremost a disciple of Jesus. Hello? Do you know that it has even got so bad that some people will say, I'm not a Christian, I'm a disciple. It is the disciples that were called Christians. Are you with me? So, for you to call yourself a Christian and you are not a disciple is what is wrong. But if you are a disciple, it must be obvious to the people around you that you are like Christ, and that makes you a Christian. Am I talking to somebody? So, a Christian, or who a Christian is or supposed to be, is nothing to debate. A Christian is one who is first and foremost a disciple of Jesus, and whose profession of faith and commitment to the vocation of becoming like Jesus has become evident to the outside world as a genuine disciple. So you have one principal vocation: to become like Jesus. And your profession of faith and your commitment to that vocation becomes so evident to the people around you that they conclude and say, you are behaving like Jesus. You did not only believe Jesus, but you are behaving like Jesus. So Christianity is believing Jesus and behaving like him. Are we together? Christianity is believing Jesus and behaving like him. To the degree that before you take any step, you ask yourself, what will Jesus do? To respond to any matter, you ask yourself, what will Jesus say? To react to issues, you will ask yourself, how will Jesus react? Rise and let us pray. Talk to the Lord to help you to know him more and to behave like him in all that you do. That your life will conform with Christ. That you will measure up to what the Lord is expecting of you. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. That you will not buy wrong philosophy and lose your faith. That you will not lose this debative war of intellect that is struggling to erode people's faith and take people back to idolatry and make people to hate the way of righteousness. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. I want to hear you talk to the Lord. Thank you, Daddy, for answer prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, help us as we continue in this study. Cause our life to begin to reflect your light in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord.
We believe you'll be blessed by the ministry of this message. You will do well to be the doer of all you've heard. For further inquiry and spiritual help, contact this number 08035685882 or worship with us at Oasis of Wisdom Bible Church, adjacent University of Ilorin Teaching Hospital, Okeosi, Ilorin. God bless you.